The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. The hired hand who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because a hired hand does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. I have received this command from my Father. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Let us pray. God, we hear you in the words of the scriptures as you call us to lay down our lives for one another, following the example of your Son, Jesus. Open our eyes, open our hearts, open our minds to understand how it is that you call us to lay down our lives for others, for the sake of love, each day. Amen. Please be seated. A few years ago, when it was still possible to do such things, I was in a coffee shop working on a sermon. I thought about leaving my iPad and keyboard at home so that I could just get done the reading I needed to do, but I decided to bring it, just in case inspiration struck and I wanted to write. So I tossed it in my bag as I walked out the door and I drove to the coffee shop. After I'd ordered my coffee, I sat down and put my books and my iPad on the table in front of me. As soon as I had done so, the woman next to me tapped me on the shoulder and asked if she could trouble me for a moment to ask a question about her iPad. It was a question about how to manage storage of messages and emails, nothing terribly complicated. I spent a few minutes answering her question as best I could, which was a little challenging since she didn't actually have her iPad with her. But I showed her how to do the things she needed to do using mine, and I asked whether she had someone who might be able to walk her through what she needed to do in person with her iPad. She said no. Well, she had one son, but he's always too busy, and with a twinge of desperation in her voice, asked whether I might possibly be back at the coffee shop tomorrow. I told her that no, I needed to be at my office the next day, so I couldn't be at the coffee shop, but I handed her one of my cards and told her that she could email me if she had any questions or call. She thanked me, and her face lit up when she looked at my card. Turns out she's an Episcopalian who has not gone back to church in a very long time, but had been wanting to go back. So we talked for a bit about Episcopal churches in the area she lived, and she said she was excited to go check one out this coming Sunday. We finished up our conversation, and she gathered her things to leave soon after. It was not a major life moment by any stretch of the imagination, but it was one that has forever shaped my way of thinking about the texts that we heard this morning. Because that day, as I turned to my work, I read about Jesus, the Good Shepherd, who lays down his life for the sheep. And about the passage from 1 John that picks up on this theme by saying that as Christians, we are to love people by laying down our lives for others, the same way that Jesus laid down his life for us. I thought about what had just happened. The woman's request was small, just a few questions about a computer. Yet, had it been another morning, maybe when I was tired or feeling stressed about the work I had to do that day, I might have been less willing to help, less willing to be generous with my time, less willing to answer the questions and talk with her. I might have shown her something hurriedly and then excused myself to work. Or I might have agreed, but begrudgingly and with a sigh, to let her know that I was very busy and important and had so many other things that I could be doing with my time. But somehow, that morning, I found myself able to be present with the woman that the Holy Spirit had placed at the table next to me, able to focus on her and her questions instead of worrying about the work that I needed to get done. And I wondered if maybe this was what the author of 1 John meant when he said that we are all called to lay down our lives for one another. That this is what it means to love each other. So often when we think about laying down our lives for others, our minds go immediately to dramatic stories of the martyrs, like Joan of Arc being burned at the stake, of those who actually died for their faith. But what if, as one author suggests, laying down one's life for one's brothers and sisters can also mean simply responding to people in need? Not necessarily dying for people in need, but giving them what they need from our own abundant resources. Some people are indeed called to be martyrs for the faith. The majority of us probably will not be. Yet each of us is called to lay down our lives, following the example of Jesus. We are called to set aside our myopic focus on our own lives, on ourselves, on our work, our busyness, our striving for success and wealth and happiness, to set these down when we see people in need in our midst. We do this following the example of Jesus, the Good Shepherd, who knew each of his sheep by name, not just because of some divine, all-knowing superpower, but because he took the time to get to know them, to see them, each and every one. There are countless stories in our Gospels of Jesus being interrupted, of Jesus changing course from the one he set out on because he sees people in need in his midst and responds to them. He sees the poor, the outcast, the sick, the despised, and gives them his full attention, caring for them, loving them. When we are called to follow this example, we are called to see the people who cross our path on an ordinary day, to respond to needs that we are aware of, to respond to these invitations to love as they arise throughout our days. And these invitations to love are extended to us every single day, if we would only pay attention, if we would only set down the things that hold our focus, even just momentarily, and look around us. This is how lives are changed because of our faith. Both the lives of people who cross our paths, but also our own. Saying holy words and reading holy books do little for us if we are not learning each day to love. This is what practicing our faith looks like. And I use the word practice on purpose. Our faith takes practice. And we can learn a little more each day how to love if we are willing to open our hearts to do so. In the beginning, it may need to be something we do very intentionally, to decide to look for people around us in our daily life who could use a little help or a little kindness, a smile or a gentle word. It can start that small. But we have to be willing to take our eyes off ourselves and our own lives for a minute to see the people in our midst. An ordinary trip to a coffee shop turned into something holy when I set down my work and was present to the woman God had placed in my midst. She asked a question in a voice tinged with desperation, yet she left smiling and full of hope. She expressed a willingness to try to reconnect with the church. My faith was strengthened that day at the coffee shop as I experienced God's presence in that unexpected encounter. I had almost decided to leave my iPad at home, but decided at the last minute to go ahead and bring it. And now I knew why. I knew without a doubt that the Holy Spirit had been up to something when she nudged me to grab my iPad before leaving the house. I knew without a doubt that God was guiding me that day, inviting me to love. Laying down our lives for one another in small ways and big ones is how we love. Love is made real in this world through our actions, through the way we treat the people around us. It's not just an idea or an emotion. When we seek to follow Jesus, we seek to notice and care for the people around us the way that he would. Even if we don't think that we have much to give, we are called to give of what we have, whether it's time, material resources, or smile. The gospel story of the feeding of the 5,000 shows us that offering to God what we have makes it enough. The young boy in that story had only 5 loaves and 2 fishes, but he offered them to others, and in offering them up to Jesus, it was enough. Everyone was fed. When you are called to lay down your life for others, you will find that what you have is enough to meet the need that is in front of you. Your task is not to solve everything or save everything, but if your heart and eyes and mind are open, God will show you the work that is yours to do. By placing people and circumstances in your path, that you are able to help if you are willing. So open your eyes, open your heart. Be willing to take a risk. Every day there is a chance to take a risk for love. Amen.